We're on.
All right, continuing the process of Miketz, special Chanukah, prayer for Chanukah to everybody. And we find first, we'll go to a few points I'd like to bring out in this particular parasha for Miketz and for Chanukah. First, we have when Paroi finally chose Yosef and so forth and appointed him as his viceroy. It says over here that he gave him a name, Tzofnas Paneach, literally meaning he unreveals the hidden, which means type of dreams and so forth, his greatness. He gave him a name, Tzofnas Paneach. The poetry bring that Paro really wanted to get him away from the idea of being an Eved. They knew Yosef as an Eved, so for the servant, slave, the Potiphar. However, it's interesting to note that even though he could Paro shame Yosef, and he went even to give him the daughter of Potiphar to Egyptianize him as much as possible, and so forth. And the Pasuk says right away, "Vayetze Yosef time." Never did Yosef accept that name of Tzofnas Paneach. And it's interesting, later you'll see when Paro said, he said again, "Lechuli Yosef." Again, he said Yosef. Paro always referring to him as Yosef, never Tzofnas Paneach. Interesting. Yosef wanted that was one of the three things, four things that we say. They didn't change their name. They wouldn't accept it. And I wanted to say at that point that that's really Maisa Ova Simen Labonim. That Yosef got it from his father, from Yaakov's time. If you look back in astounding Sforno, the end of Parshas Vayetze, where it says, well, Yaakov made the agreement to deal with Lavan, and they made the Gal. And now they've called it Gal Eid. Gal Eid. And Lavan called it Yigarsa Hadusa in his language. So the Sforno makes a statement. He says, that Yaakov Bedafkia said Gal Eid, he says, because Shleishina is the Shoinai. Yaakov refused to change his language from Lashon Kodesh into what he said in Aramaic over there in Yigarsa Hadusa. And the end was that the next Pasuk, Lavan, also says, Eid HaGal HaZeh, Gal Eid. He also reverted back to what Yaakov said. And the Sforno makes a statement over there. He says, Nichna Lekoro Lushono Shel Yaakov. The Lavan gave in and called it with the language that Yaakov said, Gal Eid. He said, Sheyia Ama Shiyoma Ato. That's what it means. From now on, Agal Hazeh, Gal Eid. And you see that he said, if a person sticks to his principles, convictions, the Goy will respect him and accept him. That we see by Yosef, the same thing over here too, that's right. Yosef, Komash Yosef. That's one of the Midrashim. And just like by Yaakov, they would do Yosef as well. There's no Shilas and Shoina. And later he says, Gurak Gunafti Beisu Ivrim. I was stolen from the Hebrews, from the Jews. He did not say Ish Mitzri as the Medrash brings Moshe Rabbeinu. They said Ish Mitzri and he kept quiet. But and he wasn't there to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, the Medrash. But Yosef was Bedafke and so she was the Shoinu. And that was a skus that Yosef had at that particular point. And regarding that, we see also that in this particular context, where Paroi called him Tzofnas Paneach and so forth, and they gave all this kavod, and whenever he went out, the pasuk says, they call before him Avrech. Avreich. What does it mean, Avreich? There's an interesting medrash. Rashi links partially here. The Chaykes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yehuda says Avreich is really two words. Avreich, which means Av means an of b'chokhma. Pari said, and Reich means Rach, Rach b'shonim. Only 30 years old, the young fellow. So Avreich, that's how it should be read. That's from Yehuda Tainus. Comes again of Yosi. This is Yehuda, he says. How are you turning around, padraying all the psukim, he says. You're making two words out of one word? Every word counts in the Torah. He says in front of, he says, Avreich. He says one word, not two words. And what does it mean? It goes on the word birkayim, knees. Like Beirach Barakayim, as if it would say Aleph is Mischalif and Aleph and a Hey would switch to Havre and Allah Birkayim, which means that the Mephorosh should bring Koitab Yosi, that they all used to say when they came before him, they said, Avreich, we're bowing before you, Avreich. They, in a sense, bowing, in a sense, when you bend your knees and so forth, and they accepted his sovereignty over them. That's what the Yeshi says. Interesting. That the Machaik is over here, the word Avreich. So with that, I'm going to say now one interesting regarding Hanukkah. I don't know if you noticed, of course, I once told you, if you remember, that every parsha at the end has a number of psukim. The amount of verses sukkim in the parasha. And there's always a word that adds up to that amount. That amount. And the same thing, of course, you find in parashas over here, in parashas Miketz, where the end of the parasha and so forth, where it says over here that it says there were parasha rings over here that you had 146 psukim, 146 verses over here in the parasha. And give a couple of simonim. I'm not going to go into interpreting all of them now because that'll take the whole. One is the Cheskiyo adds up to 146. The Eved. Those three words also add up to 146. Okay? They give it two simonim for the why two? Okay, the whole discussion was not going to go into that now. That's a separate type of drosh. So, but interesting, the only sefer in the whole Chumash of all 54 parshiyos is Piketz, where not only did Chachamim say at the end, the number of psukim that you have, but also mentions the number of words in the parasha. Words in the parasha. And he says over here, and also there are 2,025 tevos. 2,025 words in parasha Miketz. So the question is asked, what's this? Why Dafkin Parsha Miketz, the only Parsha where the Chachamim mentioned at the end over here, the amount of words in the Parsha? No other Parsha. So first I'll tell you what the Vilna Goyin says. The Vilna Goyin said over here, an interesting Chiddush, based on what I just told you now. He said that since in this Parsha is a machloikis that Chazal bring between Rabbi Yehuda in the word Avreich, do you have to write a Sefer Torah in the format of Avreich, where it should look like what? Two words? Avreich. Like he says, Av v'chochma and Rach v'shonim. Or is it like Rabbi Yosi says, Avreich, one word? That's why the Goyin says, the Chachom said at the end of the parasha, there are 2,025 words here, and Alokos can have Yosi. That you treat it in writing the Torah as one word. You want a darshan? Darshan. But you cannot make it two words. That's what the Goyin says. But you could also say, as I said, Niketz comes out Shabbos Chanukah. Always, Niketz is the parasha of Chanukah. Now, on Chanukah, what is the Nes Chanukah? Nes Chanukah is to light a candle. Really, the official Nes is one candle every night to signify, to proclaim, to be Farsi, to claim our Lord, the miracle of the lighting of a candle, of the oil that lasted 8 days and so forth. So every night, we go Mahadran and Mahadran, which we'll talk about a little bit later why. Mahadran and Mahadran, we go up to 8 candles. But the law is, you light a candle. And every night we give one extra candlelight. First night is one. So the second night, you want to light two, right? Two. But the second one is really, there's one candle extra. That's really the candle. Candle, the word ner. Ner adds up to 250. Nun is 50, a resh is 200. If you have to put 8 days of a ner as a symbol of the Nes of Ner Chanukah, how much is 8 times 250? 2,000. And 25 is Chof Hei Kislev. So it could be a remez for Chanukah. That in the case is Parshas Chanukah. They put a remez over here that the words of the parasha come out the 2,000 of the Ner beginning on the 25th of Kislev. You can look at the, you'll find that word also by the Torah Tmima. You know the Sefer called Tosefos Brucha. He was the son of the Oruch HaShulchan, the Baruch Epstein. In fact, he was lifted in 1940. Never killed in the Second World War. 80 years old. He refused to be tremendous. His Sefer Torah Tmima, tremendous piece of work. And the other song that I have, them called Baruch and so forth, and the Baruch Shiyama, very but he refused. And one of the rabbis in RJJ, I remember Rabbi Yosilevsky, it's called Avrocha. I was friendly with him, a rabbi in Yad Vashem. He knew him, and he told me about him. In fact, he said this person he sat and learned used to get up about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and he learned straight. He used to sit and learn till 1 o'clock, daven mincha. Then he went to work. He worked in a bank. Worked 4 hours a day in a bank, and that's where they made a living. That's it. The sure wife wouldn't take any shtetl when I bought it. He could have gotten all over. He was a kosher person, and he wouldn't take any shtetl. His father was the Oruch HaShulchan, and he wouldn't. No, and that's what he told me about him, and that was his. He sat and learned. He wrote Sforim and so forth, and he worked just 4 hours a day to be able to make a living, that he should be able to have enough to live, and that was it. That was his whole thing. And he says this thing also over here. He says it, 2025, could be Ramazan Chanukah. Ramazan Chanukah, 8 times 250 is 2,000 for the Ne'er Chanukah, which begins on Chof Hei, which is Chof Hei Kislev. I think it's a beautiful thought. Right now, so go further. We have constantly this particular give and take over here between Yosef and the brothers in this particular parasha. And we find an interesting thing that I want to point out, that when he brought them back and so forth, when he stole the Becher, also an astounding medrash over here that I also want to talk about, where it says that he said to them, the point is, why do you pay back evil for good? Which I mentioned, if you remember, I think last time a little bit, that there was an allusion to his mother, Rachel, and Leah. He said, my mother did a tremendous chesed for your mother. She gave it a simonim. That's how she became Yaakov's wife, and you guys were born. Where's that chorus of taif to goes to the children, to me, as I mentioned last time, and so forth. But it's interesting to note, according to Yosef, they stole the Becher. So when they came back and they found the Becher by Binyamin, he didn't accuse them, why did you steal my Becher? He doesn't even mention that he stole the Becher. He just mentions, why did you pay good with evil? But the great thing is that they stole the Mecca. Why don't you mention Geneva? We see from here a tremendous concept over here that was more important to Yosef. We have to learn from that what it means, Hakoras HaToiv. It's more important to Yosef to stress the concept of you paying back bad for good. Forget about the Geneva. You stole the cup, you can pay back a cup, give it back, etc., etc. But the idea that how I treated you, I took care of you, gave you food, etc., and that's how you would pay me by taking away my backer? Well, not the fact that I'm accusing you as far as the stealing is concerned. That's why I didn't want to kill him even. It's the idea that you didn't appreciate what I did for you. God, apparently, you treat him so good, and he goes and steals the stuff, takes out of my house. So that's why he stressed the point of it. Lomo shilamtem ruah tachas toivah. Not stressing the idea of the stealing of the cup itself. You see the point? Now, based on that point, it's interesting. It says over here at when they said, how would we steal such a thing or take such a thing, or we should do such an act of evil, when we took the money that was put in our bag, we're bringing back the money. So it's a kavach haim. We're bringing back money that we could have kept, nobody even knew about, that you put in the sack or whatever it is. So we're going to go steal kesef also. We're not going to steal anything also, because we show you we're honest people. So they say they wanted to check them out. And Yosef, it's the Yosef told Menashe, the one that was he sent to get them was Menashe. Remember that, Menashe. Told Menashe to make sure you check them out, but not directly to Binyamin. You start before. So it says over here, by Godol Heichel, he started opening up the sacks of the elders, Godol, and went to the Kotel. So what does it mean? Who is the Godol? Who is the Godol over here? Who is the Godel to the Kotel? Who is the Godel? So the Targum Yoyinson says the Godel has to be Reuven. Portion. He says that he started with Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., down to Binyamin, who's the last one, the youngest one, and they found it by Binyamin. And so as Rashi says, and they shouldn't have any shouldn't have any qualms to say that it was a setup. You would have gone directly to Binyamin. They could have said, he must have put it in there, so they go straight. They knew he was Rabbi Yoman. They started working straight down from Reuven. Okay, but there's a medrash. The medrash says pshat. That what? Where did he start from? He started from Shimon. Started from Shimon. Medrash clearly asks, what was first start from Shimon? What? Why was that Reuven? Went from Shimon down. I mean, he left out Reuven. It's the medrash. What's pshat over there? So I'm going to tell you two things. First, I'm going to tell you from Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin and what I want to say. Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin says a tremendous chiddush over here. Tremendous chiddush. He says pshat in that medrash is that Yosef was very smart, and Yosef knew that they had a good claim. Their claim was, "Hey, kesef, that 500 sacks we brought back. So we're going to go steal from you money. You see that we're honest people. We're not going to do it. The Kavach Haim, we're not going to do it." And Yosef knew that they're going to tie them. He knew that. However, look what he says. He says, however, Shimon was not there. Shimon did not go back with the brothers. He was in prison. He kept him. So Shimon never knew that there was money in his sack. He never knew anything about money being given back. Binyamin was not involved. He also never knew anything about giving back. So Shulam Diskin says, pshat, that according to that Medrash holds that Yosef knew the reasoning. Therefore, Yosef told him, Godol Heichel, Vakot Kila, only take that Godol Shimon and Binyamin, not even to check the others. But they had a good reason. They had a good reason. We're bringing back the money. We're not going to take it. But Shimon, they couldn't say that. Binyamin, you couldn't say that. So first you check Shimon, and then check Binyamin. That's what you're going to check. You hear that? I say, well, shut the medrash over there, that medrash over there. But it's a little bit strange, it's a little bit difficult. I mean, I think because Poshup Pshat, I mean, a Godel Heikel, a Kotlin Kilo, you have to say that he only checked the Godel and the Kotlin. The as Rashi, everybody learns that it was simple Pshat, and it went straight down from all of them. I mean, I checked all of them. A little bit difficult to understand. I wanted to say when I saw the Medrash and I saw what the Mishulei Diskin says, I was thinking, I don't know how good it is. I wanted to say maybe a little different, possibly, that the reason that Pshat in that Medrash may be that the reason that the Medrash says that that from Shimon is because Yosef told Menashe, you check only from Shimon down. I don't want you to check Binyamin. I mean, I don't want you to check Reuven. Why? Reuven was Yodo. Reuven was the one that wanted to save Yosef, bring him back home. He was the one that stopped him from killing him and so forth. And later it says over here, when you remember they came to the place over here, Reuven said to him, I told you not that time that you shouldn't hurt him. And he cried, Nachmonis, and you didn't listen to me. Yosef heard that. And he went into the other room and he cried. So he knew clearly that Reuven was really his man. And Reuven really wants to run. So he's not going to accuse Björn. He knew that Reuven would never do such a thing. That's the pshat I want to say. He never knew that. So the Medrash holds that Yosef, because of the Hakoras HaToiv, I'm bending over here, Hakoras HaToiv to Reuven, that Reuven, how he acted to him, so but he didn't want him to be checked out. He said, he took him, he wouldn't take it. They never, I don't want they should think that I think that he took it. Yeah? Don't check Reuven. I don't want you to think that he took it. That's what I would learn shot in the Medrash. So therefore, that Medrash learns that beginning only from Shimon Dafke and all the others that they could have taken the backer. But because they were all against him. But Reuven, no, Reuven not. Of course, I told you to Reuven and said he wouldn't even want to take it. That's what I was thinking, shot maybe in the Medrash. And Memela, I'm learning shot. But that Medrash also he checked from Shimon down. Everybody, Shimon, maybe who do you talk to? You see? You check them all, but don't check Reuven. Reuven, I don't want to be checked. But that's what I want to say, Pshat, in that particular medrash, in that sense, when you call the principle of Hakoras HaToiv, and understanding Takya, even at that particular moment, Yosef really knew who what Reuven did for him that particular time. And Takya, he did. And that's what the medrash says, Ilu Yoda Reuven. There's another Pshat over there, too. I want to connect to the Chanukah, connect it too. And the kids of Shulchan Aruch, Shlomo Ganzfried. In fact, Rav Shlomo Ganzfried asked a question, who was the one that wrote the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The question, he said, how come that by the only mitzvah you have, Pesumei Nisa, but you have to make a whole proclamation, really according to the halacha, you're supposed to light the candle outside the street. And that's just how they do it. There are some that go the minhag gevurah, even here in America. I know one of my friends that has his outside his porch over there, and he has like a special covering, and he lights the candles outside. Outside his house, in Flatbush. But we don't see that in the meeting we did not do because of the Goyim and so forth. But still, that was the main Pesumei Nisa. So he asked the Kashi, he says, eat matzah. Exactly, she's inside. I eat matzah in the street? Anybody should see me eat matzah? I'm not even fasting the matzah. I'm fasting the lulav, the esrog. You don't make any. I don't make a big deal. Publicize all the mitzvahs I do outside the street. Why dafke by Chanukah a farce of the mitzvah? Why? That's his question. Interesting question. The concept over here is that the mitzvah of Chanukah is totally different because really there were two elements in the mitzvah of Chanukah. I had another question that people asked me talking this year also. That there are two. There's an element of the Muhammad, victorious, the multitude in the hands of the few and so forth, and the strong in the hands of the weak and so forth, etc. And also the Ner Chanukah, the candle. So they ask, why is it Takya by the davening Al HaNisan? We stress the whole thing. If you look at it, is the Muhammad. And the war and the victory. In the end, it says they went into the Beis HaMikdash and they cleaned it out and it leaked the Neiros. Doesn't mention anything about the Nesser of the Neir. Nothing. And over here, when you're doing the house and the shul and so forth, Pisumenisa is the Nair is the main thing, and not the Muhammad. Why dafke over here this and by the tefillah this and outside up like that? And they wanted to say that really talking, there's a big difference over here. There are two elements that the Ness, first of all, Chanukah, the Ner Chanukah Ness is a different type of Ness. Take the miracle of the war, the miracle of Mitzrayim. These are out and out activities, miracles that occurred that automatically people saw, people knew. The whole Mitzrayim, the whole world, everybody heard, everybody knew, everybody saw. It was an open, clear miracle in that sense, in that particular context. And the same with the war in Chanukah. The Ner, the oil that they found, the flask of oil, and it lasted 8 days, that the Goyim didn't know. World people didn't know about that. And even it's brought down, even the people themselves didn't know, the Jewish people, till they were told. Only the Kohanim and those that were inside that found the thing, that and they lit the menorah, they knew that this was a Ness portion, that they had one flask and it lasted for 8 days. So they were the one that spread the Ness. So this was a Ness Nistor. It was a Ness that didn't come about in a publicized manner, like it's used in Mitzrayim. All the Yisraelis of all the other mitzvahs and so forth. So therefore, this mitzvah, the dafke, that comes in such a way, we have to, we'll mefarsh the mitzvah. We tell the world that we don't just light a candle. It's a candle of miracle. It's a Ness. It happened that never one day we had 8 days and so forth. So we have to proclaim that as the Ness of the miracle that happened over here. Therefore, by the idiom of tefillah, by tefillah, first of all, it said Dura tefillah Muhammad. When a person is spouting davens, he daven because the person does what? He should be successful. He should be matzliach. They went into the Muhammad. There were two things over there. First of all, to be mispower for success and mesiras nefesh. There was an act on the part of the people, they were wasting nefesh and so forth. But that mesiras nefesh and the concept of being mispower, that's the need of tefillah. That has to do with like Yaakov Avinu, he was mispower by Esau. That's the need of tefillah. But the concept of the Ner, lighting the candle, that's not that, that's nothing to do with that. That's not a thing that they, there's nothing that we put into that. They found it over there. It's a miracle that they found it, Portia. It's a Metziah. A Metziah, I don't know who was there. And I didn't put anything, I didn't do any activity in that. I didn't do anything in that. I was not much of the Baruch Hu made a special nest for them. That was in the Baruch Hu's nest. So we have to proclaim and publicize it of the nest that it became, that it's a nest that the Baruch Hu did. That the Masha Nasa B'Seisa is the Pharisee to make it publicized and so forth. So therefore, by the mice of the Nair, we have to put it out that it should be outside to publicize. The people should see; they should know that this is all. This was a Ness. It's not stop lighting a candle. It's not a candle that we had, but it's a Ness, a miracle type of candle, which took place with the oil and so forth, et cetera. But by the lean of Tzvila, that was a Ness Goloi. That was a miracle. That was people they knew. And there was a mysterious nefesh of the person that put my act was in there. My act was in there. And the tefillah to be a swallow for that. So that's the Yisrael of tefillah. That belongs in the tefillah. That doesn't belong to be a farce than that. I don't have to proclaim that. That's proclaimed automatically. A war is a known thing. It's an open war. So the Yisrael is tefillah over there. So by tefillah talking, we stress the war. And by over there, we stress the Ner. That's the concept of the. That's what I want to say. That's the concept of Israel of Chanukah. I think that's 100, I think it's 100% correct. Now, that particular mitzvah. In fact, when I told it to somebody, he himself started to say what I want to say. He said he agrees 100%. It's mamish that's pshat. That's the meaning in that sense. Now, so therefore we have over here this particular point over here that I brought out as far as Chanukah is concerned. And as far as the miracle, but like I always say, how come that by Chanukah you need Taki also Mahadvin and Mahadvin? What does that mean? Really, according to I told you, according to the Dinyan, you have to light one candle. But we are Mahadvin and Mahadvin. It means not only do I light, but everybody in the family lights. Other people also light. The whole Mishpoker lights, even though you don't have to. One person could light the fire and be Meitzer the whole Mishpoker. No, Everyone likes, and I know that everyone likes, but you like 1 to 8. I could light only one candle each night, and I'm going to the mitzvah. That's the Nair. But we don't know. 1, 2, 3, want to show every night that we're adding on, we're doing more and more. Mahadran Mahadran. Why? Where do you find a mitzvah Mahadran Mahadran? Like I once said, the only place you find Mahadran is by cottage cheese or Mahadran cheese. You find Mahadran. But he was Mahadran, Minna Mahadran, and so forth. But how come that by this mitzvah, the Mahadran Mahadran? So I once saw, I think it's a Sfas Emes or the Rishon LeZion, his grandfather, said, he said a pshat, he said, like a little bit, what I said over here is that the same idea that they do it when they found a flask of oil, what they could have done, he said, very simple. They could have used a very thin wick, very thin wick in oil, and it would have lasted much longer. It would have lasted full 8 days. They didn't have to. They put the whole flask out on the whole first night. They wanted to make it in a thick thing. It should grow beautiful. So they emptied out the whole flask. That means they made a Mahadran and a Mahadran. They didn't have to do the whole flask. What I do, that's what they just a little bit each night, and that's it. That'd be Yaitzah with a thin wick. But they didn't want to do that just to be Yaitzah. They wanted to show the ness of the miracle that took place over here and to do it full. So since they did that way, of the whole flask, and a miracle came because that despite they used up the whole bottle, there was remained a little bit left by Ness. We're going to make sure that after it burned, there was oil left over and so forth, and then it filled up and went again and again. That was the miracle took place. So there we see that from the Mahadran came the Ness. So therefore, we medakik that we do the lighting of the candles also with the Mahadran manner and a Mahadran manner in the most propitious, the most proper, best way possible, Mahadran. That particular point over here, in that sense. That's what the concept of Mahadran by Ner Chanukah dafke, which you don't find by other places in that particular sense, that Ner Chanukah. Also, the Pshat is also the question is asked in the concept of the Ner Chanukah itself, that you find that a person hasn't got any Ner Chanukah and so forth. He should even sell his clothing and so forth, or something that he should be able to have a Ner Chanukah, to be able to what you call to be able to light Chanukah, like, in order to proclaim the mitzvah. Why is it such a big thing that he has to? You don't find that. You only find that by avakosis, which I'll talk about another time. And it comes over here, but where do you don't find the concept to go out of your way? The mitzvah, you should pay 1/3 more. But to go sell clothing, sell your things in order to make get a few cents in order to make, if you haven't got the money in order to make it, why machshava type of goes off the ma'aser? I mean, machshava. I had a machshava. I wanted to light the candles. I had in mind to light the candles. I wanted to do it. I haven't got the money. I can't do it. And the ma'aser of the Ramah, the ma'aser Isserles, Ramah and Shulchan Aruch. One year he was in when that was in the time when they had the pogrom. And that in his time and so forth, and many in the city were killed. He ran away into Golos that time, and he was stuck on Purim. He was stuck, and he couldn't get it. He didn't have a Megillah. He couldn't make the Megillah, so he sat down and he wrote a sefer, Mechir Yayin, in exchange of the wine that I would celebrate of Purim. He said, you do what you can. So I had mind to do a Machshava Toiva. I had mind, good mind, to do the mitzvah. But I can't be Mekayim, so why not? So Rabbi Nezer says a very good svar over here. He said, by Chanukah, you can't say that. By every mitzvah, the person says, you have a mind to do the mitzvah, but you can't afford it, you can't do it, you haven't got it, is Nenas and Oidus, and you can't perform it manually and so forth, has got the money for the Esri Lulav, Machshava accepts the Machshava. He said, but over here, the mitzvah over here is not in the machshava lighting the candle. The mitzvah over here is that the other guy should see the candle, that there be a bisume nisa, that the other person has to see the candle, that it has to be proclaimed and so forth to the world, as I said before. He said, that can't be machshava. Machshava can only be the thought that it pertains to me personally, whatever I can do. But what I have to show to others have to see, you can't be with a machshava. With a thought. That has to be an actual thing. The person has to be able to see a candle. That's why you got to sell the clothing in order to get a candle to light the candle. That's what he says over there at that particular point. And so the Avnei Nezer says that. Now, At this point, you understand the concept of Hanukkah as far as the case is concerned. This particular connection, what I want to bring out regarding these places that we find the Yosef and so forth, the Aparasatoi, and the you know the brothers and so forth, what they had over here as far as Yosef and Mitzrayim and what he took over. That's the concept of Yosef and Mitzrayim in that particular sense. And with this, we find that to finish over here, we find the concept of Hanukkah. And we say that Beisilu Beishamai. Beisilu says you go from 1 to 8 every day. And Meshamai says you go the other way, 8 to 1. Down, go down. The last day is only one can. And as I said last time, we say what one pshat Zois Hanukkah. We point to the 8. Hanukkah stands for Ches Neiros. So tonight I want to go the last step further. What is talking the reasoning possibly between Meshamah and Basila? What is this concept over here? Well, it could be that we say Sur Me Rav, I say Toy, that a person has to veer away from evil and do good. Meshamah was a very strict, very strong-willed person and so forth, and would not stand any Avla. Anything that was wrong, you would right away knock it out, tell them off. Like the guy, everybody came, he wanted to become Jewish and learn Torah on regular office at 1 foot. He threw him out. I can't deal with him. Hillel took him in and taught him about Rav Kamoicha, so forth, etc., etc. And he took him in and he accepted him. Later on, he became a good Jew. And the point over here is, Bishamai Shitta is that you have to eradicate evil. You have to uproot Katoyim and the Tshuva Gemura before you could settle yourself into doing Toiv and doing good. His point is you go from 8 to 1. You go down till you come to the one. You come to the one, the Ikka, that's there, the Ner Chanukah stands for that. So if there's 8, you go down, so for the Sur Merah, you wipe away everything that's extra, and you come finally to the one that represents the Ner Chanukah. Basil says no, Malah B'Kodesh. Now Basil holds the concept that Sur Merah, I say Toiv, you have to eradicate evil, but if you're going to wait until you're going to do that, you'll never get to Toiv. Many times, how much Tshuva the person could do, no matter, you never finish. He says you have to, at the same time that you cease and desist from evil, yet at the same time you have to do good also. You go hand in hand. You cease from evil and you do good. At the same time, you work together, you grow together, 1, 2, 3, 4, till you reach the heights of 8 in the sense of the highest level, just the opposite in the sense of including what the old 8 days of the miracle took place in Hanukkah. He said that represents the concept where a person works himself up from Sur Meirah La'asei Toiv. As they say in the davening, we say Shabbos and the Chofetz Chaim, make so merab, I say toiv, baki sholem. So a person, if you go, during the same time that he eradicates evil, at that time he also has to put himself into doing good. And that way he can accomplish. And we hold talking like Basil, Boston Chanukah, as they told Basil, that even though we are not perfect and we have faults, but a person should never feel despondent or give up. Because I'm no good anyway, so far gone already. Many people say it's too late for me again. I'm going to be, I'm become better. Not like that. Whatever you, as the Chofetz Chaim says, be chaparayim, grab what you could. Try to do better, try to do good, and so forth. Which means at the very same time that you feel bad what you did wrong, you do tshuva, same time do something good. And that way, you zoyka taka to the end, zoyish chanukah, the skus that a person has. And as I said, zoyish chanukah is the ksiva time. Let's hope to have a friend of Chanukah with Simchas and Nachas from all the Mashiach Zakeinu, where you
Amen.